Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Brenda McCoy. I'm also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We have a really special show for you this evening. I hope everybody is ready for it. This evening, our guest is astrologer Georgia Vlahos. Georgia Vlahos has been counseling in soul astrology and relationship compatibility, Reiki healing, sound, and chakra therapy for over 18 years. Soul astrology, like your birth chart or natal chart, it's based on your birth time, date, and place. But instead of giving you just the basic astrological aspects, soul astrology focuses on your soul's purpose in this current lifetime, your special path, your destiny, and the connection between you and a potential soulmate. It also deals with past and present life connections that you have in this lifetime. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my awesome co-hosts. Steve, how are you doing tonight?
Extremely well, thank you, Brenda.
Would you tell our wonderful audience about a little bit about your work, just a snippet?
Absolutely. I'm a psychic medium. I'm particularly interested in connecting with spirit and proving the continued existence of the soul, and also in self-understanding and self-discovery. I find that astrology is exceptionally powerful for self-understanding and navigating life so that we create the best outcomes.
Well, thank you, Steve. That sounds awesome. Maureen, what about you? How are you doing?
Fine, thank you. And I don't know if I can do snippet, but...
Okay, we'll try.
It all started in 1945.
I love that year. I love those fashions.
Yeah, it was very nice. I was there that year, and I have the fashion still. I hold on to them. Anyway, my name's Maureen, and I also work with this lovely, handsome, wonderful co-host of mine at PsychicAccess.com. I'm an empath, intuitive advisor, and you know, I use tools as everybody else, but I have a caring heart, and I'm very objective, and I help people help themselves. I can't tell people what to do or give them – they have personal power about choices, what they could do, but I'm really well-versed in business relationships, but also spiritual understanding, as well as I love my work.
Yes, it's definitely a path. It's definitely something we love, or we wouldn't be doing it. Don't you agree, you guys?
Yeah, it's three poetic justice, love, and there's sometimes a hardness.
It's a vocation.
Yes, it
definitely
is.
Definitely a vocation.
Yes.
Okay. Well, not last but not least, because I'm last but not least, but Bobby, welcome back. You were on a trip. How are you doing?
I was. I'm still on my trip, in fact. But
you're still
I'm doing
tripping?
Well. Yeah. So I'm still totally tripping, yeah. That's the secret to my powers. I don't know what you guys do.
Tell us about your work, Bobby.
Snippet. I tune in. There you go. Thank you, Brenda, and take care.
Oh. No, I just... You tune in, okay. How do you tune in?
Well, I was trying to make it short, right? So I also, like Steve, psychic medium, and I really love the opportunity to work with somebody and help empower them to where they feel what it is we're talking about with them rather than just us telling them, well, I sense that you're feeling this and I sense that you're feeling that. Mm-hmm. But I like to kind of guide them into a particular vibration as well. You know what I mean? Like tune into what their vibration is and then kind of guide them to a more positive, if it needs be, of course, a vibration to help kind of manifest and get the things it is that they want. So a little bit of everything, but I really like that last passion the most, I think.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
And that leaves me. I'm a predictive psychic. I'm pretty traditional. Tarot, crystal ball. I use the playing cards sometimes. I specialize in dates, times, and places. And just like the rest of my wonderful co-hosts, we all work on psychicaccess.com. Okay, the science of astrology, and I like to call it a science because, I mean, I think it was science before they defined really what science was. It goes back thousands of years, all the way back to the Mesopotamians and the Ptolemies of ancient Egypt. The Ptolemies were, you know, Queen Cleopatra was a Ptolemy. They were rulers in Egypt. And the Pharaoh Ptolemy was the one who actually brought astrology to the forefront as a practice. Your astrological chart is a cosmic still photograph of the stars and their relationship to each other at the time of your birth. Your astrological chart shows your personality traits, negative and positive aspects, your future potential, love connections as well, like who you're destined to be to, who be with, who would be your best potential mate. Soul astrology, what we're covering tonight, it kind of differs a little bit. It goes deeper than basic astrology because it includes your karmic purpose. We're also going to talk about soulmate connections in this lifetime and, you know, how you're connected in lifetimes before. Georgia Vlahos, our wonderful guest, as well as an astrologer and counselor, is a Reiki master and teacher in the Yasui method, in the medicine Buddha Reiki and Heart Reiki, Karuna Ki and beyond, and a certified crystal, sound, and chakra therapist. She's also a certified starfire, animal healing, and communication practitioner. She's the author of the Psychic Development and Tarot Manual, the Reiki Handbook, and Earth Cycles. And you can find some more information on Georgia and her monthly events, and you can visit her website at www.georgiavlahos.com. And that's Vlahos, V-L-A-H-O-S. So, it's an honor to have you join us tonight, Georgia. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's an honor to be here.
You know, astrology was my first love in the work. And I remember I was just like back in the 70s, and I'm dating myself, and I don't even care, okay? Because I think I'm looking good, honey. Anyhow, we used to do the charts by hand, if you can imagine. And it was very ponderous. And if you were bad with math like me, you often screwed it up. But so I want to ask you, when did you first get, you know, interested in astrology? About what age and time did this happen in your life?
Well, I would absolutely date myself, but I was about 40 at the time. And it was a time in my life that was extremely difficult. And the major problem was my marriage broke up, and I broke up in a relationship. And I was looking for ways to heal the pain because it was horrible. And it was one of many things that I learned about. And astrology, I think, helped me to see things from another perspective. You know, it gave me a different perspective on all the things that were going on in my life at the time.
And it helped you understand the other person, too.
That's exactly what it did, yeah. And it helped me to understand the people that had hurt me and, you know, and understand myself, most of all.
And but what makes them tick and why they would do something like that and...
Yeah, exactly, and why we weren't compatible. I mean, that was the big thing that I learned from it, was why we weren't compatible. You know, I learned that one person was a soulmate. You know, it was in the chart very strong, and the other person was totally incompatible. So, you know, it taught me a lot, and I think it really helped me to find my way out of that, but it took a long time.
I think that people are drawn to astrology for that. You know, I think a lot of them... just, you know, the whole love aspect gets them hooked into astrology faster than anything, you know?
Oh, so, absolutely.
And this and, very and yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's so helpful. I mean, it can tell you so much about a person and about your life and about maybe past lives that you've had that, you know, might have influenced what's going on now, you know? So patterns in the chart. It's also good for family relationships. Yeah, I love looking at family charts, too.
See, I don't know that much about the family charts, but I can imagine a chart, there's not only birth charts. What are the other types of charts that can be cast for people? I know there's natal chart, which is a birth chart, and there's a progression, which shows you, like, you know, what your year is going to be or for an amount of time. What are the other different types of charts that are out there?
Well, there's that. There's what they call a solar return. That's a birthday. It's done at the moment of your birthday. And it predicts the year, what the next year will be like. There's also what they call synastry, and that is putting your chart together with another person's chart and to see the, you know, the angles that are formed and the planets that are alike or different.
So that's the compatibility chart, in other words,
that's
right?
That's the compatibility chart, yeah. It doesn't always have to be just for love relationships either. I mean, it could be a boss, it could be a friend. You know, it could be a potential partner. You can look at the charts. There's also a composite chart, which is putting the two charts together and creating a chart for the relationship. Like, it fuses them together and it takes the midpoints of the two charts, and that is a chart of the relationship itself.
That's very fascinating. And, you know, people are very fascinated by their own signs. You know, they're kind of like, you know, and they tend to want to hear and read everything about their signs. And can you tell us what the sun sign is and how important the actual sun sign is? Because there might be some people out there listening that don't know that their sign is actually their sun sign. Their astrological sign.
Yeah,
what's the importance in the birth chart of the sun sign?
The sun sign is who you truly are. It's your true self. And then they have a rising sign or an ascendant. There's a moon sign, and then there's planets, and there's different aspects between them. My favorite analogy is, like, the sun sign is like a bowl of just plain spaghetti, and it's spaghetti. But if you put different toppings on it, you know, you can get a red sauce, and you've got one whole different flavor. You can do a cheese sauce, and it becomes something else. That's what all the other things do. They flavor the spaghetti, but it's still spaghetti.
What about a quattro formaggi?
That sounds very
See, I'm Italian. This just opened up. I'm starting to really pay attention.
Bobby and I are Italian, and we're kind of like, okay, so what's the deal here?
And now
where's
I'm
the meatball?
Sounds very fattening, but it's good. No, I mean, it just flavors it differently, so that everybody who's a Cancer is the same kind of spaghetti, but you're kind of different because of all the other things that are in your chart. So you can't just look at a sun sign to see who a person is. You know,
and explain the ascendant sign, because when I tell people about this ascendant or rising sign, they don't quite get it. So what is the ascendant? What significance does that have in the chart?
In the chart, the ascendant is the sign that is on the horizon at the moment of your birth, and it represents it's the physical body, how you look, and how you present yourself to other people, how other people perceive you. So you could be two very different people, like me. I'm a Cancer sun sign, which we all know is kind of, you know, emotional and all that. And I have a Sagittarius ascendant. So people kind of see me as a Sagittarius, which is happy-go-lucky and, you know, making jokes and all that. But I'm really a Cancer. So it's like there's, like, different ways of looking at yourself, you know, how you are to the outside world and who you truly are. And how well you access who you truly are depends on your chart, too, because there's a lot of things that could make it difficult to be your true self.
Interesting. Now, what about you, Maureen? Do you know your rising sign?
Oh, yes. I know everything there is to know.
Like a true Leo.
Are you a meatball, Maureen?
You know, it's funny. I was making those at 4 o'clock in the morning, meatballs. Okay, so, no, really. I'm a Leo with a Pisces rising, which makes... Interesting. It makes sense. But, you know, doesn't it, though, because of the work I do? But I'm a Leo by all, I was, you know, actress. Well, I thought I was. That's what I want
to do. All Leos think they are.
Well, we are. But the rising sign to me, you know what? I like to tell people, you know, everybody loves, and I'm sure, Georgia's your, I'm sorry, Georgia. Is Georgia your guest, right? Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Georgia. I love any.
What
Georgia.
Do you think about Pisces rising, Georgia?
What?
What do you think of the Pisces rising Leo sun combination? That's pretty interesting.
It's funny. It's interesting because there are two signs that are very much not alike, like the Leos out there and, you know, the Pisces is more, you know, with little, it's creative. Pisces is very creative. Pisces is, but more emotional, you know, whereas Leo is more of a fire sign. So there's a little bit of a conflict there. It's like mine. People see me one way.
I'm being pulled. But, you know, I'm a swimmer, and I love shoes. So isn't that a lot about the Pisces, too?
Well, Pisces is the feet. That's true.
Yeah. And but, you know, for people that I think they love to read the horoscope, I always told people, if you're going to read those, fine, silly, whatever they are, we all read them. Well, not I. But I always say that it's a good idea to read both sun and the rising. Is that, what do you think about that?
I've tried that, and I've tried it. It didn't really work for me. I mean, the sun, just doing the sun sign is kind of simple. I mean, it'll give you a basic flavor, but that puts the sun on what they would call the sun on the horizon. So basically, your entire chart changes when it's done that way. So it doesn't really apply, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree too. I think it's silly, but it's so everybody.
So what about the moon sign? Now the moon sign, our moon signs, what does that tell about us? And what is the moon sign in the chart?
That's your emotional life. That's how you react and how you express yourself emotionally.
Ah, okay.
So it's a different aspect of yourself.
Now, Steve, do you know your moon sign?
I do have my moon, Venus, and Mercury in Aquarius in the fifth house.
And you're a Capricorn.
And my sun is in Capricorn in the fourth house, and my ascendant
he knows it
is
all.
Virgo.
He's memorized it.
He has
I love astrology. I find astrology incredibly powerful for self-understanding.
Mm-hmm. So that's very – so, okay, well, tell me about my moon sign. My moon sign is Gemini. What would that be?
Well, you would tend – people that have moon signs in air tend to think things through. People that have moon signs in fire signs, like Leo and Aries and Sagittarius, they tend to act on their emotions. So mm-hmm. you're going to tend to think, and you may see two different – you know, you may have two different feelings about the same thing. You know, because Gemini is kind of a split twin.
So we can't make up our minds, in other words.
Sometimes, yeah. But it's emotional. It's not, you know, your mind thinking. It's how you react emotionally, which is the moon sign. It's also in a chart how you perceive your mother.
I have heard that. I've heard that the moon is your mother. And I, interesting enough, my moon is in Gemini and my mother is a Gemini.
Well,
so I don't know if that's coincidence or what. There are no coincidences.
There are no coincidences, and you might have seen your mother that way. If your moon is in Cancer, you would see your mother very nurturing, possibly mm-hmm. even, you know, a smother mother might be a Cancer mother, you know. A Gemini, your mother may be, was she very social when she was younger and you were growing up or talks a lot?
No, but she's very out there. She's a teacher. She was a teacher, and that's a good thing for Geminis, I think.
Gemini is information and learning and expressing it, you know, communicating. So, yeah, that would fit very well.
Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about the ruling planets. You know, what role do they play, such as Venus and Mars in the birth chart? How do they influence a person? Like, I've heard that it's, you know, we know that Venus is love and Mars is the sex planet. How do those come together, and should they be complementary for people to be compatible? How does that work?
Well, compatibility is a big, long talk. I mean, I could talk an hour on that. Yes, there should be some compatibility between Venus and Mars. There's compatibility between the sun and the moon in different charts. But Venus in a man is what type of woman he would want, what he's attracted to. So if a man has Venus in Cancer, he would want a nurturing type woman. Mars is what a woman would be attracted to.
Ah, so, interesting.
So if you're attracted to, like, say, Mars and Aries, you would be attracted to Aries type men who are very impulsive, commanding, you know, they're kind of warriors. They get things done. They move quickly. You know, then that, and it's also how you are in a relationship. But Venus is also not just love, but it's also money and it's also beauty. So mm-hmm. how you perceive money and beauty are also aspects of Venus. Mars is how you express yourself and get your will, your willpower, your seat of your will and your power is in your Mars. So mm-hmm. where, what sign it's in is very important. So Mars in Aries is a very strong person. Mars in Pisces may not be a very strong person because Mars doesn't do well in Pisces.
Yeah, Mars in Pisces I heard is pretty difficult. And I also heard that the Capricorn Pisces combination is not a good one. Like if a Capricorn is, there's a Capricorn sun and a moon in Pisces, that they're in their detriment. There are certain combinations like that, right?
Right. Yeah, it's true. But it's so much more than that. It's the whole picture. You know, you can't just take one aspect and say, well,
yes,
that's doomed because of this or that, or you know,
right,
the whole picture, and you have to look at the whole picture.
And that includes the houses as well. And the houses are represent what? They all they represent the
areas,
wheel, the horoscope
areas
wheel,
of your
right?
Life. Hello?
Hello?
Oh, I lost you for a minute. They represent areas of your life. So we're mm-hmm. talking a lot about relationships. So love and, you know, having dating and having fun would be your fifth house. Mm-hmm. Marriage and contractual relationships are in the seventh house, and sex would be in the eighth house. So there's different houses and different aspects of the same thing. The first house is the house of the self.
What about if in your chart, because I know that sometimes there's nothing placed in some of the houses, what does that mean? Like you just don't have it,
or is it
a challenge?
You have all of it, but it just means that the focus is elsewhere, but it doesn't mean that there's nothing there. And the sign that's on the cusp or the line that delineates the house, that influences that house. So, for example, if you have Gemini on the cusp of your seventh house, and there's no planets in there, but having Gemini, you may want to date two people at once because that's part of the Gemini thing. You might be attracted to intellectual people, you know, people who communicate very well because of mm-hmm. the Gemini. So it doesn't mean that there's not it. It just means that the focus is elsewhere.
Ah. Now, soul astrology, which takes it a little, you know, more, it takes the astrology, basic astrology, a little bit different. How does it differ, the soul astrology? I mean, tell us a little bit about soul astrology so we know how it's a little bit different, a little more deeper than basic relationship astrology.
Well, when I do a soul astrology consultation, I look at the chart as any astrologer would look at it. You know, where are your planets, what signs, what houses, what aspects, you know, what angles do they make to each other. But soul astrology looks at it after I do all that, because that's all part of finding out who you are. Soul astrology is who are you, why are you here, and what do you need to accomplish, you know, and what are the things that hold you back, what are the things that, or people too, and what are the things that, you know, help you to move forward? What is your soul's purpose? So you would have to have some belief in reincarnation, I guess. But when we come here to this planet, when we're born, we come in with something that we want to master, something mm-hmm. that our soul needs to learn. And that's the perspective that I look at the chart. And it's like I do the regular chart plus go into that aspect of it.
Now, do you believe that these lessons that we have to learn are defined by perhaps a past life and some things we didn't complete in the past life that we need to complete now? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I do. I think that a lot of it is past life, but I don't think that that's something to really focus on. It's like, why are you here now? So what is it in the now? You know,
mm-hmm.
what is this lifetime? It might have come from previous, but why are we here? You know, what do we have to accomplish?
And so knowing your chart, it prepares you on all different levels for your life, basically.
Well, I think it helps. I find it helps people who are lost. And, you know, a lot of people come to me, well, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. And that's when...
What is,
you know,
my
helps.
Purpose?
What is my purpose? Why am I... Everybody asks that. What is the meaning of life, really, you know? And it's there. I mean, there's an answer. It really is.
And so in a compatibility chart, I know we've been talking about natal charts and birth charts and how, you know, the chart that shows, you know, what's, you know, what our path and our purpose is in this lifetime. Now in the compatibility chart, you'd be taking, say there's, like, for instance, myself and my husband. We would take our two charts and we would put them together. We would compare both, right? See how we...
I mean, if I was going to do that, I would look at each one individually. Mm-hmm. And, you know, get the feel for the people, you know, what it is about each of you. And then you would put one chart in the center and the other around it to see what aspects they make, where their planets fall in your chart, you know, where it's incompatible. And then you can create a chart of the entire relationship, which is called a composite chart. And it consists of midpoints between your planets.
So now, do we want to do this on the first date? Or do we wait for that?
I would do it before you go on a date.
There you go.
I mean, why waste your time?
Well, I used to cast the charts when I was dating. I would find their information, and before I went on the first date, I had their dossier right there.
That's a good... But, you know, Brenda, it's... Honestly, we invest so much time in relationships and finding a way.
Maybe it's more than two dates.
Don't you agree, Steve? I think that that's the way to do it.
Honestly, I'm a big fan of astrology. I look at my transits throughout the day, and I would not get involved with somebody in a relationship now unless I had a thorough understanding of their natal chart and was sure that there are good opportunities for growth and common ground. Astrology always reminds me, it's as though it's the perfect depiction of the divine plan.
Well,
it shows us so much information.
It's as close as it can possibly be because it's built on universal truths, right? Don't you agree? The position of the planets at the time that we are born, they are. It's something that does exist. It's not something pie in the sky that's made up.
No, and you know what's interesting about that is my sons kind of grew up without their father in their lives, and I always felt terribly, terribly guilty about it because I instigated the divorce. But when I looked at their charts, it was there that they would not have a father, you know, as a big influence in their life. That was when they were born. I had no idea back then how it would play out. So there is a lot of, you know, they came for that reason. There was something they needed to learn from that experience. So it helped me to get rid of some of the guilt I had and to see that, you know, this was something that they brought from past lives. And in fact, it's in one of my son's charts that he was the father to his father in a previous lifetime. So, you know, it's a balancing, which is karma.
Well, that's certainly interesting. It definitely is. Sometimes I feel like I'm my husband's mother. No.
Don't we all?
Well, he's an Aries, and they're a big baby.
I was
going to
say, that's
right?
Not just astrology. I think a lot of women feel that way, don't they? Like, I'm really raising three kids, not just two.
But then sometimes I call him my daddy. No.
Oh,
maybe,
easy. Okay. That's the eighth house. We're going back
way.
To the eighth house now.
That's right.
Maybe it was. He was, you know, you were the mommy in a past life. Who knows, you know?
I just attribute it to him being Aries, and Aries is the baby of the zodiac. Don't you agree?
Well, they're hard to rein in, I'll say that. in case Chris is listening.
Oh, that's true. Okay, now, I know that people are just, like, crazy waiting to hear about the whole soulmate connection. Now, in the astrological chart, can you tell us some ways that a soulmate connection, a soulmate love connection is revealed? Like by some kind of planetary, you know, by some aspects, some combinations. What would be some keys to that?
Well, the key to the soul astrology in a chart are the nodes of the moon. So aspects from another person's chart, from their nodes or to your nodes from other planets, would indicate past life connections. When I encountered the soulmate of my life, his Venus, which is the love planet, was conjunct or the same degree as my north node. which indicates a soulmate from past lives. One of the many. There are many more indicators, but those are the bigger ones. So yes, and there are, and there are ways to see that in a chart. That said, I mean, I don't believe that soulmates necessarily ride off into the sunset together.
That was going to be my next question to you, because I think that's a misconception. I mean, people are always saying, oh, such and such is my soulmate, blah, blah, blah. But aren't there many soulmates? Aren't there people that you've known in other past lifetimes that you connect with in this lifetime, but you're not necessarily supposed to be in a committed relationship with?
Right. And a lot of times you hook up with these people because you feel something, like a knowing about them. You know, well, wow, we're just the minute. I've met other people besides the one person. And one in particular that I met, I mean, the first time I met him, we just sat and talked for hours, like we'd known each other all our lives. And, you know, I actually did look at the charts, and there were past life connections. And he was a soulmate. We did not ride off, you know, happily ever after. Neither of them played out that way. But the first one, which was very devastating to me, in my pain, I learned all these different things like astrology and Reiki. I was just trying to heal myself. I just wanted to be better. I just didn't want the pain to go. I wanted the pain to just go away. And he changed the course of my life. You know, that pain changed the course of my life.
It was probably reflected in your chart and you didn't realize it, or maybe you hadn't, or maybe you did realize it, huh?
Yeah. Well, afterwards, when I was trying to figure it all out, you know, I started looking at the charts. That was one of the things I looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, it wasn't meant to be, but it changed the course of my life.
So you learned from a soulmate, but you weren't necessarily destined to be with that person forever and ever.
Exactly. I think
and
all
that
soulmates.
That is
lessons. I mean, that, you know, whether they're happy lessons or sad lessons, I don't know. You know, you can tell by looking a lot of that, but it doesn't always work out. I mean, people say soulmate, it's meant in many different ways. I'm talking about it specifically, you know, as a karmic astrological thing.
Oh, I see. Okay. And so it's defined, or the relationship with a north node.
Right.
See, I didn't know that.
Too.
And what about you guys? Did you know that about the north node?
Yeah.
Steve?
Oh, never mind. I'm not Steve.
I want to ask, since he's so.
Well, I was self-taught 25 more years ago, before they had all the, it was hard. I was fascinating because, as you would know, George, maybe from doing it in the old-fashioned way of having precise things and degrees. So I self-taught. It took a long time, but it was really something. So yeah, the North Node, I feel is really important about my view anyway, and it makes so much sense because it does go into more of the life purpose and the past lives, I feel, or what we're supposed to do, and also helps us stay away or put some energy in what would help or encourages us to put energy in the areas that we need some work in.
Right, exactly. The South Node is what you come in with, what you bring into this lifetime.
Right.
And people will go to that. That's
right.
That's what they know.
Don't mean to interrupt you guys, but we need to take a quick 1 minute commercial break.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay?
Yeah.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
All Okay, we're back. Now, Maureen, what were you saying?
Well, she was Georgia was responding back. I was talking about the North Node and how important.
Oh, right.
And so, Georgia, you were in the middle of saying what I was, you know, conveying to you what I felt. It was a, it's good because it shows it. It works. It will help to help us develop or work in areas that we can uncover our hidden gifts or talents. That you know. So I, yeah, you were. Then so go on. You were saying because it was great.
What I was saying was that the South Node, and they're all always opposite points. So the South. So if your North Node is in Cancer, then your South Node will be in Capricorn, which is the opposite sign. So the South Node is what you come in already knowing, having done, and that's where people tend to go. They'll tend to stick to that. The North Node is what you came in here to do. So that tends to be harder. Because people don't always just, you know, born awake and saying, I need to do this.
Right.
When you're rooting around trying to figure out, you know, who am I, where am I going, it's your North Node that tells you the direction that you're going in. And there may be things that keep you from it, you know, in the chart that keep you from getting there. Some people, it seems to me from what I've done, the people that are more on a spiritual path have a more difficult chart.
So you know, it's important for people to know their North Node and South, but the North, well,
yeah.
Mine's in Virgo, for instance, so it would be just the opposite. But isn't it important? A lot of people don't know about the nodes
right.
being anything of importance. I don't feel they do, the average listener. I don't know, but.
Yeah, they may not. And it's very important because it's who, you know, people always ask me, and maybe just because of what I do, I don't know. But people always, why am I here? I have no idea. What am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing? I feel like I'm supposed to be doing something. You know, all my life I felt like I'm supposed to be doing something, but I never did it. So, you know, the North Node shows you what that is, and it's very helpful. But it also, I have found personally, the people that you attract, and I'm not just romantic, but romantic too, may tend to have something to do with your North Node. Like mine is an Aquarius. So my people, I've just had a lot of Aquarian people that have been very significant in my life. The man that changed my life was an Aquarian. So I think it's important to know the node and to know where it is, what house, what sign, you know, all that.
Oh, that's really great. Well, thank you, Maureen. Now, Bobby, you had a question. What was your question?
Well, I was curious, and it kind of jumps back a little bit. You know, we were talking about how you wouldn't, you know, we were joking earlier, wouldn't even connect with somebody or go out on a date or whatever if you hadn't laid out the charts first and then you know that, and so I think that I love meeting relationships and you know just learning what you can from them, and yet now at this place in my life I would do that, or you know, just make sure that we're really compatible first and that kind of thing. But you had said that, Georgia, that one of the people that you had met was extremely beneficial. Like that was your soulmate or past lives together. That was extremely beneficial in how changed how your perspective on relationships.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, so don't you think we might miss on that if we're laying it out first to see if you're compatible? I think it's sometimes the incompatibility that you might have with somebody in particular ways that help you decide what it is that you do want.
It wasn't all compatibility,
or,
you know.
Do you see?
But it was the incompatibility that ended the relationship. But and I don't think that you can say, oh, because this relationship has all these compatible things, it's going to work out.
No, of course not.
It
right.
It doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't. And just because it has a lot of things that are stressful does not mean that it's, you know, not going to work out.
Right.
It's just more information that helps you to deal with what comes up. For example, if you're dating someone and, you know, whenever you have a fight, they want to, you know, analyze it to death. Well, you can look at the chart and see, oh, okay, you know, this person has a lot of Gemini and Aquarius and air signs, which are very analytical and thinking, and that's why they work that way. So it helps you to understand them better.
Absolutely.
More than predicting
if
the relationship's going to work out or not.
I just think I've been asked that type of question, so it was more of an audience type of question. I totally relate with what you're saying. I think it's brilliant. So,
thank you.
Well, there, you know, surprises are always nice, you know, in a relationship. But I have to agree with Bobby and say that now, in the work that we're in, this is before us, and this is part of what we do, and it's all part of the whole ball of wax. And if we can use that information and it helps us. And, you know, even if we meet up with somebody who is like our opposite, total polar opposite sign, there's something that's making us come together, and there's a reason for it.
Well, we need that support, don't we, nowadays? So we need somebody who's going to support what we do. And
we also
don't necessarily have time to go through a bad relationship. But we've been that. I know what I want in a relationship, and you need somebody who's really supportive of what it is that we do. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
and you need a spark, too. You don't need it to be ho-hum.
Oh, like, right. Right.
Ho-hum.
Right. Yes, Bobby, you're always right. Oh, God.
Did I say you were right? I didn't say that, did I?
No, but I mean, that's the thing. You don't want somebody who's like always going to agree with you. Always.
I'm messing with you, honey. Smart.
Why would you do that?
Because that's what I do.
Okay.
She adores you.
Okay.
Did I say that? I don't remember.
No,
okay, well, you know what? We have, there was a listener to the show that wrote in with a question. And it's actually kind of interesting, Georgia. Let's get your take on this. This is from Krista Lynn, and she has a question about soulmates. Her first husband of 20 years was born on the 22nd, on July 22nd of 61.
Okay.
And let me see her.
So they're real?
Husband-to-be is born on February 27th. Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. I think this is 67. Oh, no, they're both born on the 27th of February. One born in 67 and one born in 61. They're both Pisces, born on the same day. One was of 20 years. And the other one is the one who's she's engaged to be married to. Her question is, why did she find these two men with the same birthday? Is this destiny, or is she repeating history? It says that she's always attracted to Pisces, and all of her best friends were born in the sign of Pisces. She wants to know what you think about why she's attracted to Pisces.
I would think that there is something, without looking at her chart, I have no idea, but I would say that there is obviously, it's all the things. It's the history, the familiarity, and the lessons may not have been completed. You know, maybe there was something more that she needed from it. If I were talking to her, I would look at her entire chart. There would probably be something in there, like maybe her north node or her south node's in Pisces. You know, there would be something. It's not random. I have the same thing going on with Scorpio, and Scorpios are kind of deadly for me.
And, but it's interesting, and they're both the very same birth date.
Yeah, I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that, you know.
If that was me, I would think, well, I rode that one horse into the ground, now it's time for the next. No, I'm kidding.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's hard to say without seeing the charts. You know, there may be something completely different about them, but I don't think anything is random. Or there are accidental things, you know, there's something there that she needs to look at, which be it good or bad, I don't know. It may be something she's very familiar with. What sign is she, did she say?
It says that she's born on the 21st of February.
So, well, I don't know if that would make her a Pisces.
It's right there on the cusp.
Yeah, it would depend on the year, you know, mm-hmm. You would have to look. That's what I mean, you would have to run the charts and look. But no, I don't. The question was, do you think it's because of history, or I think it's I think it's all of the above. It's history, it's karma, it's something to do with her soul lessons, you know. And there's something comfortable about it for her, you know. And maybe her Mars is in Pisces or Venus. I don't know. You know, there's something.
There's definitely a connection with something like that. And don't we grow through our signs too? Like, I have heard that as we grow, we become more like our ascendants. Is that just a myth, an astrological myth, or is that true?
I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily true. I think, well, for me, it's been the opposite. I've always been my ascendant, and I'm just learning to be myself, my sun. So I don't think it's true. I think that the ascendant is kind of like a facade you may take on at times, you know. It's a part of you. But the sun is who you truly are. And, you know, if your sun is aspected badly or it's in your 12th house, you may have trouble actually, you know, finding your true self. So that might be why you're acting more through your ascendant.
You know? Now, does this apply to young souls and old souls? And can you tell by a chart if somebody's an old soul or a young soul? I know that's a question that all kinds of people have.
Yeah, I think you can. I think the older the soul, the deeper the lesson. So it's a lot of charts of old souls of people. And somehow you know when you meet them, the people that are old souls, you can tell. And the charts of old souls tend to be more difficult. They have more to work through because it's so much, they've done so many of the basic things that they're going and they're working at a deeper level. It's like peeling an onion. You know, a soul.
Like the layers of the onion, and that would be reflected in the aspects. Like, maybe we can just talk about real quick some of what the aspects are.
The aspects are when the planets are, a picture is taken at your moment of birth, the planets form angles. They're different degrees. A trine is a pleasant aspect. A square is a difficult aspect. It's a lesson. There's a lesson in learning that comes from a square. Conjunctions, it depends on what they are. You know, conjunctions are planets that are together. And opposites, you know, or oppositions are planets that are opposite each other. A few days ago, and if you looked out at the sky, you would see you could have seen the moon, and there was a very bright, what looked like a star right next to it.
I saw that.
That was Jupiter, and that was a conjunction of the moon and Jupiter. It was very beautiful.
How fabulous. What did that mean?
Jupiter's expansiveness, and it expands whatever it touches, and it gives luck. So, you know, the moon is emotion, so it's expansive emotions. You know, it could have been emotional time. It would have been a good time for, you know, love and romance and feeling, you know, because Jupiter is a very kind of a happy, expansive, philosophical planet. But it was very beautiful to see it in the sky. I always look at the moon, and sometimes you'll see a very, very bright star, and it will be either Jupiter or Venus. And once it was both, like a few years ago, you could see both Jupiter and Venus conjunct the moon. They're right together. It was very beautiful. I like to look outside and see, you know, rather than just talk about it. I like to see it.
Well, Georgia, that was really fabulous having you as a guest.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed
with you tonight.
With you.
And, you know, I'm sure everybody, what do you think, you guys? Wasn't she great?
Yeah, fantastic. You know, can I ask something very quickly?
Go ahead, Maureen.
Hi, Georgia. I'm sorry. I wanted to know if, I was told this, or well, not years ago, or when I was learning, that if you find a lot of your signs in the later houses, like in when you're getting up into the 11th, 12th, or, you know, the 9th, that usually, or I have a T something, they said that I had a T, whatever.
T-square.
I was told that that's where, if you look at Saturn, if it's in the higher of the houses, that's where you're getting into a lot of old soul or pretty interesting lessons for this life. Do you have any view on that or any thought, or am I out of my mind?
I know what aspects
Saturn is creating to your other planets. I mean, I happen to have Saturn on the top of my chart, so yeah. But the more you go to the later houses, the more externally oriented you would be.
Mm-hmm.
So the early houses, it's about you, you know. Mm-hmm. And then as you go around, it goes to other people, you know, like family and children. And you get to the seventh house, and it's husband, business partners. And then you start getting to the later houses, it becomes more public-oriented and more, you know, out in the world. So as you go around, yeah, if most of your chart is in the later houses, then you need to be out in the public in some way or, you know, doing things more for humanity as a whole rather than your own ego or...
Right. That makes sense. My chart would be like that then because I have mostly... Okay. Yeah, I got
that.
Where
is your Saturn, Maureen?
I think it's in the 11th house. Well, I haven't. The 11th house in Capricorn is pretty intense.
That's interesting because it's the ruler of Capricorn.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a very strong Saturn.
Yeah.
So very, very strong placement of Saturn.
Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem.
And Saturn is a pretty heavy planet. That's your karmic lessons, isn't it?
Well, it's your karmic lessons. It's constriction. It's, it's going to hold you back. You know, if something isn't working and Saturn comes along, it'll make you work it out, whether you want to or not.
Challenge.
A fun planet.
This is true.
Yeah, it's not always fun. But you need it. Because it's what, you know, it's why you grow and why you learn and what keeps you from going crazy and just going out and doing everything.
It holds us back. It's like an anchor almost.
Well, it doesn't. Yeah, it's an anchor, and that's a good thing, an anchor. Otherwise, your ship would just blow out to sea, right?
So
an anchor
is
a good thing. Might not be a pleasant thing when you want to go out to sea, but, you know, you need it.
Yeah, it's actually in the 12th house. My Saturn is in Capricorn in the 12th house.
that's hard. And it's part of a T-square, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, T-square is a difficult aspect. I have one, too.
Yeah.
It's a difficult aspect, depending on what planets it's aspecting, would tell you what areas of your life.
Right.
Georgia, is there anything to some of these people that we're talking about? There's been new signs created.
I want to know because
I'm a Sagittarius, and I had heard that all of a sudden now I may not be.
No, you're still a Sagittarius.
Okay, because it was supposed to switch,
like,
or they moved us up or something.
The internet. And it doesn't so much have to do with that actuality. It's very complicated, but no, you're still a Sagittarius. Don't worry about it.
I know, that kind of freaked everybody out. I got all these flurries of emails when they came out with that on the internet, a new sign, blah blah blah. I was like,
it's like old news, and it's not the way it all works. So it doesn't really mean anything. So yeah.
Well, I'm ruled by Saturn, and I kind of like it because I feel it's dark and mysterious in some way. We haven't heard much from Steve. How do you like being ruled by Saturn, Steve? What do you think that means for you?
Gosh, what does that mean for me? Well, I'm Capricorn with Virgo rising, so I take my career very seriously. I've always been very career-minded and ambitious, and always very, very focused on what I want to achieve. My methodology is not always the most conventional, but I generally get where I aim to be. And I'm learning as I mature that although Saturn, everything has its two polarities, so the energy of Saturn and Capricorn is great for achievement, getting things done, but also our greatest strengths can be our weaknesses when they're applied too heavily or in excess. So I have to consciously remember that I'm governed by Saturn, or that my essence, my sun, is governed by Saturn, and be sure that I actually allow myself time off, time to rest, time just to be, because Saturn
makes you workaholic.
Well, Saturn can be too rigid, too focused. So I have to balance that energy, or the energy of my sun, particularly because my ascendant's Virgo.
Right. Well, thank you, Steve. And Georgia, again, I want to say what a pleasure it was speaking with you tonight. And For those of you listening, to contact Georgia Vlahos, please visit her at www.georgiavlahos.com. And the contact information is also on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. We're going to take a minute here for a commercial break.
Okay, thank you.
Please stay tuned for the second half of our show.
Thanks, Georgia.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. get answers, get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
724-444-4851. Now let's hear from some of our co-hosts about this show. Steve, what have you learned about astrology and astrology charts?
I've learned that they're extremely valuable. I have always been interested in astrology, but I particularly studied astrology a lot in 2011. And it's really interesting to explore oneself through astrology. So I started by looking at my natal chart and looking simply at where the different planets were positioned in my chart, so which sign of the zodiac they were each under and the different houses. And the more I worked with my natal chart, the more I started to just feel a lot intuitively. So it's as though you could understand the mechanics of astrology and look at a chart, interpret a chart based upon your understanding of the science and the math of it. But you also start to get a lot of deep intuitive feelings when you look at a chart, a little like tarot. You know, you can understand the structure of tarot and the symbolism, but as you work with the cards, you start to connect more and more with the source and feel what's pertinent to the inquiry. And I then started to explore all of the aspects in my chart. So looking at how different planets are aspected with other planets and energies in the chart. And then I started to become really fascinated with the movement of the planets and how that affects my chart. So I often describe astrology as like a cylinder or a tin can. So if you imagine you have your natal chart, which is a beautiful photograph or picture of the planets at the moment you first inspired, when you drew in your spirit, when you took your first breath in this world. And then imagine that astrological wheel, that chart, that circle is the top, or is on the top of the cylinder or the tin can. And as you move down the tin can, the energies are changing all of the time because the planets are moving, and you can actually look at how those planets and the energies of the planets are affecting you in your life. And I found it extremely powerful to start to track different transits in my chart. So I'll give you a simple example. I like to write, but I know that at certain times, I'm not productive when I'm writing. So in other words, if I'm not in the mood, if I'm not in the flow, then it can be hard work to produce good quality writing.
Whereas, that is very interesting. So did you find out from an aspect but the best time for you to write? I know I'm jumping ahead. I'm giving it away, but I'm you know what? I want to know that.
I'm as I said, I'm Capricorn with Virgo rising, so I'm pretty OCD. I plan my whole life on astrological transits. And I know it sounds crazy, but it works brilliantly for me. I found a great transit earlier in this week that was brilliant for writing. And I wrote final format straight away in 2 hours, what would normally take me about 40 hours to produce. So I was catching the transit. I was catching the right astrological energy and leveraging it for productivity. And I schedule private client readings on days when I know that my mediumistic energy is really strong. I schedule time with friends and family, trips, dates. I try as much as I can to catch the energies that really facilitate my life and my work. And equally, I will look at transits and say, oh, that would be a really bad day or bad time to try and resolve a conflict or try and discuss challenges in a friendship or a relationship, because I can see when I'm not likely to get the outcome I would want.
You know, it's so interesting that we're kind of going backwards towards what the ancients already knew.
Oh, yes.
Because in ancient Egypt, everything was based on astrology and astrological hours of the day. And even in medieval England and medieval Europe.
Absolutely. If you look at the construction of the pyramids, the ancient Egyptians knew the power of astrology, just as they knew the power of psychic ability. They knew the power of the pineal gland. That's why when you look at some of the architecture of pyramids, you can actually see that the most sacred point was exactly where the pineal gland would be if that structure mm-hmm. was a depiction of the human body. They knew what they were doing.
They absolutely knew. And inside the pyramid, the way it's structured is like the spinal column and all the way up to the pineal and to the crown chakra. So we're kind of going backwards, like relearning this, where it could help us so much in this world now. I'm sure we would have world peace if we were still, you know, practicing all this. It's just really sad that it's been lost.
Well, you know, though, Brenda, I find that the most successful clients I work with, you know, some people that are exceptionally successful, they know about astrology. Now, J.P. Morgan said, millionaires don't use astrology. Billionaires do.
Absolutely. And I was just going to say that I would have to say that, well, it's a known fact that most of the American presidents have had personal astrologers. They've had their charts done and they've had personal astrologers casting, you know, their astrological, you know, forecasts. Yes.
Extremely powerful. I dream of a day when we have schools that offer real good quality academic and scientific education, but also metaphysical education. One of my dreams is to create a boarding school that offers great education, but rounded education that teaches about the right brain and that uses the right brain as well as the left brain, and that teaches kids about the power of metaphysics, the power of spirit, these ancient mm-hmm. tools and sciences.
You know, it is one of the sciences, one of the ancient science. I think they said there's 32 different sciences, you know, that the ancients know, and astrology being one of them, you know, numerology and colorology, and well, it can go on from there.
Well, and also they're all interconnected, you know.
They're all interconnected.
In numerology, the number one. Mm-hmm. The number one is, as Maureen said before, she mentioned Aries. I think it was Maureen that mentioned Aries. Well, number one in numerology, its astrological equivalent is air, and it means the awakening spirit. And mm-hmm. its correlation with tarot is the magician. And then it's correlated with the Hebrew alphabet, the letter Aleph. I mean, it's incredible. So 17, a number I love, is temperance in tarot. Mm-hmm. It's Mercury in astrology. It's the energy of Mercury. And it's the letter Phe, P-H-E, mm-hmm. in the Hebrew alphabet. It's all intricately interwoven. It's a divine plan.
And you mentioned the tarot. And then contained within the tarot are all these sacred sciences.
Yes.
Most of them.
There is a great theory that I'm quite supportive of. That's that the ancient Book of Thoth was, in effect, used to create the tarot deck, the original tarot deck. I mean, the chance.
Do you think that's really a secret, Steve? No, really, no.
Sorry?
That's got to be. It has to be. It's the book of Hermes, of Tahuti.
Yes, and it was given to the gypsies because
they would spread it.
It would spread and it would be safe somehow.
Mm-hmm. Well, very fascinating. Now, Maureen, do you apply astrology in your reading?
Well, I just got to remark on something, and I think it's great what Steve brought up. Yes, I do, because when I was when I got into my work, it was not that I had planned it. I've mentioned this many times, but what I did do, I got into tarot not for reasons of ever being here today on this show, which I'm happy I am, but astrology was a big part of my journey with my tarot as well as the PK stuff. But I self-taught myself, which was very difficult. And Steve, you bring up a good point, because what I found during those times, that was a time where we had to do everything in the, you know, it was hard getting the degrees because we didn't have computers to do that for us, to get everything precise. So I went back and learned how, I think tarot is a universe, is a symbolic, it's symbolic of our human existence, the tarot. I noticed all the correlations between numerology, astrology, and the tarot. It was fascinating to me, too. And that's when everything opened up. It was amazing. And it is no coincidence. It is like it is. But, yes, I do use that. I integrate it, and it just kind of comes naturally. But I used to do charts 20-something years ago, but I would take – in the back in the day, they weren't computerized, but I would take maybe 3 to 4 months with each person's chart. So
– well, that's very thorough. Wow.
Yeah. And also you can go beyond – not just – it's like a poem. You can go beyond – use your intuition with it too. No matter what – that's where I really dwelled into, because it is universal symbology like the tarot, and it just all kind of meshed together. It all kind of comes together. It's all – everything. It's all of it. Universal. It's unbelievable. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. I was glad I learned it. There you have it. Thank you.
Now, Bobby, what about you? How do you incorporate astrology into the counseling and the mediumship that you do?
You know, it's funny because, you know, when you had asked us questions to send for you and things like that, and I thought that maybe it had applied, and I don't use it in anything. I am so lost with all of this. I have to tell you, I don't node.
Node like yeah. Is it south node or north node?
Okay. Yeah, either one. I don't node.
You're north. No node. Okay.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna no node you for this.
It's all so very fascinating because there are so many different aspects, isn't there, to what it is that we do? There's so many facets, and I have never been drawn to, I guess, any of it to use, you know what I mean? Like I started using tools, and then I just kind of lost the interest. I think the farthest I went was with some tarot cards, and I got them played with the deck one night, and then I just never picked them up again. So I don't know that I've ever been drawn to tools like that, and yet I find them extremely accurate and amazing when, like, we have a guest on tonight who's very credible and can just rattle it off, and everything that you guys, like when you and Steve were talking, just makes complete sense. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, I can definitely see it using it as a tool. But I, for me too, I think I become very addictive. You know, I have like an addictive personality. And so mm-hmm. I have to be careful. I mean, I've only drank once when I was like 19, and I don't smoke. And, you know, it's only the cocaine occasionally. And then... But so I was always afraid, like, if I used one of those tools, that I would have to resort back to it, or feel like I couldn't do what.
Don't you think it would enhance? Well, now your brain has been expanded through this.
It has, and I just don't want to rely, because right now it would take me a lot of study to get into this, and I think in some ways it definitely could enhance. But if all of a sudden I'm doing a reading and I'm thinking too much about the house and the signs and stuff, I think it would throw my whole game off. So I just kind of stick.
Oh no, not that.
Well, no. Oh my God, no. We can't have that. So.
I agree with Bobby. You know, Bobby, you make a good point, because when I got into this, like I said, I never ever thought I'd end up doing – I just started self-teaching or self-taught in every way because of my journey. But I don't think I could actually say that I – it's a lot of work. I mean, I was coming from nothing. I mean, what? No one's mentoring me. But I found it like I was on this quest for learning and learning and learning. I don't know if today – or even 10 years ago, I would have been doing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think just my spiritual journey. I know that the more I learn about myself, the more and more at calm or at peace and freedom that I have within me, the more I can help somebody become that as well. You know, I mean, you can only help somebody become free to the degree that you are. And so I think I find that through that's how mostly I try to heal through, you know, the Reiki and energy and things. And for me, I know how I am, and I would think about it too much, and that thinking would just throw me off, and then I'd, you know, become confused and
and you'd end up at Walmart until they close and they eat.
Or you know what could help you understand? You wouldn't have to, you know, you could understand some of your clients, like in retrospect, you know, say you have a reoccurring client with issues, and if you knew a little bit about them, that would just, you know, you could delve deeper into some stuff. I think that it would enhance. I mean, that's just my opinion, man.
No, of course, and it's very valid. I think you're
but,
right. Anything could enhance. All of this stuff could absolutely enhance. I just do what I do kind of raw, you know, and certainly
well,
anything.
Keep it raw, and sometimes we come from using tools to use, you know, over the years, not needing really anything, you know.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes we go the other way, and we add things to it. So it's just kind of like that bowl of spaghetti she was talking about.
Right. You just add it as you go along.
Going to have it plain, or you're going to have it with some, you know, some meat sauce or something.
Right. I agree.
So, Steve, you talked a lot about how you used astrology for yourself, but in astrology, what do you think as pertaining to love connections, how would you use it for yourself? I mean, would you find out the person's, like, what I call the big three, like, you know, the sun sign, the ascendant, and the moon? How would you do that, like, just initially, if you were interested in somebody?
I think you've got to look at yourself, first of all.
And see what you
need. Because, well, we're so quick to look at others, and we don't generally spend enough time looking at ourselves and acknowledging that it's when we work on ourselves, it's as we become self-actualized, we become the best versions of ourselves. That's when we magnetize or attract the right relationships and solutions and opportunities in our lives. So for me, the starting point is that we need to have a very good understanding of ourselves, because if I don't understand myself well, then how on earth can I determine or even understand what a complementary relationship might look like for me? So I always say to clients, look at yourself and really thoroughly understand yourself. And then when you do, and when you're open to astrology and you're open to spirit, you find that the right solutions come. But looking specifically at somebody's chart, it's for example, if the other person's moon is in the same sign as your Venus, or vice versa, then that's positive. But there are many different indicators of compatibility. But again, in living intuitively, or living with the planets, as I say.
Mm-hmm. And that would be an intuitive living. That would be intuitive living.
Yeah, but it's, you know, you can find the perfect partner or the person you perceive to be the perfect partner. But as Bobby quite rightly said before, we're here to learn. And I can tell you, I've had two relationships that I'm very grateful for, because I learned so much, but it was real hard learning. It wasn't freesailing, joyful. It was tough growth through relationships. And now I want to magnetize a relationship that is developmental, but not painful or stressful. And so I'm looking for something different, but I believe that comes because I'm maturing and understanding myself better.
So you become a reflection, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But you can look at so much in astrology. You can go to the depths and depths of it. It's absolutely incredible. And I really try to encourage clients to understand astrology, because it's great to go and speak to somebody that knows about astrology and get their guidance. But if you don't know the language, if you don't understand to a certain extent the value of astrology, then you'll only take away a limited amount of what that expert might be offering you. Whereas if you become conversant with the language and the power, the meaning of astrology, then you can take away much more, and you can empower yourself by actually using it, working with it, and developing your own understanding. Because you also need to know what the energies are as you go through your relationship. So you and I, Brenda, might be a wonderful match, but there can be astrological transits that come along that can turn our relationship upside down potentially, or that could be very harmonious. But we need to know about them so that we can take control, and we can go through our relationship knowing what the energies are and making the most of the opportunities.
Right, and understanding that and being able to, like, you know, tell a person about what's really happening and why they're feeling that way and why they're going through these things, that helps them deal with these things. I understand
it,
that. That's,
it does. It does. I was speaking with a great client just before the show, and she was saying, gosh, you know, I feel so introspective. I just want to be alone, and I keep on reflecting and reflecting. Am I doing the right things in my life? Am I putting the right plans in place? And I looked at her chart, and she had Pluto in Capricorn, because Pluto is in Capricorn right now, which is the sign of structure and order. Pluto was squared in her chart against her natal Pluto, which is in the first house, all about self. And so obviously she's introspective, and she's thinking whether she's putting the right plans in place and doing the right things in life. Pluto is challenging her to consider the structure that she's created and to reflect upon herself, because she has her Pluto in the first house. So there, and it's a relief to know why you might be feeling the way you do, that you're not just going crazy, and to be able to work with it and get great outcomes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. That really is. Well, and what do you think, Maureen, about these computer-generated charts and reports? I mean, aren't they kind of generalized? I mean, well, it just seems like, you know, they just wouldn't be accurate for, you know.
Yeah. You know, I have a program that I have that I paid a lot of money for, because it's a very well-known company. It's been around for a while. And it's pretty good. It's called Matrix, but it's pretty good. But I myself, yeah, but yeah, I've been around forever. But I myself, people put out money for this, and it's interesting. We have $20. I find that it's, oh, like I said, when I got into this, it was the old fashioned way, and I didn't do very many charts for people because it took me months, because I put my all into it, and so it doesn't beat anything. It can't beat. Opposed to the real thing, it's always best to go and really seek out somebody that's, you know, not computer generated. A lot of people that are astrologers are using them now too, and they're calling themselves astrologers. So, not that they're not, but yeah.
Don't you find that those reports tell you it could be this and it could be that?
It could pertain, yes, and it kind of contradicts itself in some of the ways. But Matrix is the best one. But like I said, I put it on my site, and I don't certainly charge all that. I give them away to people. You know, they get readings. You know, for me, and it was expensive, like I said. But it kind of educates people in some of the ways. It kind of explains a little bit. That's one good thing. Kind of helps in the way that they can understand a normal person that wouldn't know anything about astrology and houses. And it doesn't go into anything else like the trines and the squares, and, you know, but it shows you what that is. But it's interesting. But, you know, I don't understand why people buy those. Well, that's all I got to say. I don't know. They do.
The stuff that's in the paper that's so generalized.
We all love to hear that. You know, we all love it when it says that if we want to hear it that day, that it says good things. Oh, yeah, that's what sounds like me. Everybody read your rising sign. If you can get your rising or ascendant sign, ascending, whatever. Read that too. It's very important you read both. That's all I got to say if you're going to look at those things at all.
Mm-hmm. So. You know what? I agree with you, because we really relate very much to our sun and our ascendant. So.
Yes, absolutely. There you have it.
Well, there's that line again. You notice I didn't use it.
No, you didn't. See?
That's your line, and I'm like staying away from it because that's okay. That's okay. Well, Bobby, do you have anything else to add to this? I mean, I know astrology isn't really, you know, where you're at yet, but, you know, maybe you're
a little bit more interested.
Yeah, maybe you're more interested in finding out more about it and using it in your work, huh? If it could be helpful to you to pinpoint, you know, what a person needs to work on in this life, would it be useful to you, do you think?
It always could be useful, absolutely. But, you know, I can only do what I do now, and I don't really move anything on anything unless I, you know, have an inspiration to do it. You know, try not to force yourself to go. Otherwise, I'm going to be closed-minded, right? I'm not going to learn everything that it deserves for me to learn. You know what I mean? Like, to be absolutely interested in it, then I can be as open as possible. And then I just have to tell you, right now, it just doesn't send me in that direction. I feel very complete when I do, you know, the readings and with clients and working in whatever way that it goes, such a trust in source in that way. But I absolutely think that if I sometimes I have a lot of other different things going on. And, and so when I do my readings there, I think that if I were really paying attention to all of this, I would offer the complete package. And here's your astrology stuff, and let's work this way, and we got this. And you know what I mean? So I think it would be good there. But do you think that sometimes – do you think that my deal could be that maybe I am putting myself through in this lifetime, the soul is kind of going through a bit of a rougher time on purpose because that's how I'm choosing to learn and go through life. You know what I mean? Does that
Perhaps.
Make sense? Like that's why
Perhaps.
I don't have an interest maybe in but some also, of those because I'm learning a tougher way or something. I don't know.
But Bobby, you know, I find that in actual fact, when I use these tools – what they're doing is basically confirming what you sense intuitively. So I always feel the source is the source, and when we connect with the source, when we connect with spirit out of integrity and love, we can download anything and everything.
That's yeah.
And these tools are great tools to go in at a particular angle and focus upon an area of ourselves or of somebody's life or of life. Because you can look at the
stars. And on that note, guys, and on that note, I have to just jump in and just like interrupt you, which I don't really want to, but it is the time for the part of the show where we're going to be taking calls and questions. You can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number, 724-444-4851. Please be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. Please relax and listen to the show while you wait. Please be very clear and direct with your question. We can take one question per person, as this will allow for us to take all the calls waiting for the readings. Okay, Bobby, you're first.
Okay.
You have a caller from, let's see, where's
your North Carolina, South Carolina?
North Carolina, yeah, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hi, Bobby. This is Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I had a question about, I guess, relationships. I recently met this guy, and his name is Dave. So I was just wondering what you saw there, if there's anything in terms of relationship potential.
Well, the way I would look at it is a bit of an expansion of relationship. There's already a relationship there between you two. That's the connection. Okay. Sometimes this happens with people, but not everybody. So I'm kind of directing this towards you. You know what I mean? This isn't just an in general, we're all in relationship with somebody. The relationship, you already developed that, and now we want more expansion. He feels to me like a very safe haven for you, especially with the hurt, you know, that you experienced, you know, 4 to 6 months ago as you're just kind of coming out of this. And I think that he's kind of, this is like a port. It feels like a harbor, you know, where you can just kind of rest, and he's allowing you to, you know how some people are very supportive of you and just kind of are present with you while you're healing and still kind of getting over some things. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I think it's really perfect for that. And I do see an expansion of that and him walking with you for a while. What I would avoid doing, and it, not because I'm not seeing you guys lasting forever or anything like that, but I would avoid putting a timestamp on it of forever or wondering if this is the one or that type of thing, because that will allow the relationship to expand and grow into the direction that it needs to and eventually will. Do you see what I mean? It's just great for now, and then later I think it definitely has potential to expand into something, but just without you thinking in that way. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Okay, yeah. I feel like a lot of the times I think about it a lot and not, it's almost like I'm always looking at, like, you know, like compatibility and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any suggestions for the, I guess, users or like people like me to stop doing that kind of stuff, because it's really becoming a problem. I don't know.
What? So explain that first part again. What is the problem? You're looking too much at the compatibility.
Kind of looking for, like, compatibility. You know, like, as soon as I meet someone, it's like, oh, am I compatible with them? You know, oh, like, should I? I look, a lot of the things, like, discussed in the radio show right before, I guess, you know, those are things that I am always looking for, and it's almost unhealthy.
I think it can be, can't it? Because you wrap around that more than you wrap around just being yourself and enjoying and discovering the other person's energy. Absolutely. You know what I would recommend is have your astrology chart done. As we were talking earlier. I was hoping to get a laugh from Brenda on that.
Well, you got one from me.
Not the laugh I was expecting, though, from Brenda, but it's true. You can become so wrapped up in that, and this is where I think one of those things that would help you to relax, if you had the astrology done and partners and everything that we're talking about, it might help you to relax a little bit so you don't look at all of that stuff. But I think for you, it's just ultra important. Where you're coming from is an importance. I don't want to make the missteps that I made with my past relationships. I want to be able to do it right this time. And so what you're doing is you're just planning for a disastrous relationship. You know what I mean? That's the only reason we look at our past, to try to fix it and change it and make it different, is because we're planning on having the same thing happen again. So what I would let yourself do is allow yourself to make a misstep. You learned a lot from that past relationship, especially, this is the important one, especially more of yourself and becoming yourself and just generating in that vibration and just saying, you know what, I do disagree with you and I'm okay with that now. You know what I mean? And so knowing that much about yourself now, don't worry about missteps, and you want to make the right choices. The less that you become concerned with that, the less you're going to be concerned about, like you said, really wrapping around and spinning around the are we compatible and is this going to be right? And gosh, you know what I mean? Like everything that you were just talking about. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense, Jen?
A lot of the relationships that I've formed have been long distance, like with Dave, who I was just talking about. It's long distance. I don't know how, like, from a, like, a psychic, you know, viewpoint, like, how do you guys view long distance, and especially Dave and Mike?
I can only tell you what I'm picking up from you. I'm not sure, you know, what the others, how they view that from, but just from my perspective and feeling into you, it's just safe right now. You know, you keep things at an arm's length and it's just safe for you. And so what? You know, this is good for you. You have a long distance relationship and you keep it at an arm's length until you feel safe and secure and you feel better about making the steps that you do. And then you might be open to bringing a relationship a bit closer to you, whether it's as Dave and he decides to move, or whether you and Dave don't last and you meet somebody else who's near. You know what I mean? So right now it's okay. Just be safe, because you're still just kind of coming out of this courageousness. You know, you're just coming into that and you're just keeping it safe. So there's nothing wrong with a distant relationship. Again, right now for you, you know, for some people it doesn't work, but for you right now, it's okay, because you're still developing confidence. And if you had somebody who was really close to you right now, you know, close in proximity, you might waver on that confidence a little bit and not be so adamant and yeah. out there like you've learned to become. Do you see what I mean? So, yeah. so it's okay. Yeah. Everything's okay. Don't look at like, is this wrong? Am I doing, you know, should I be having a closer relationship? It's all okay right now because this is what you're drawing to you after the last relationship. Just be a little bit more yeah. easy on yourself and you'll be fine. And then let's expand in this relationship because he is one to allow you to heal. That's what's great about him for you. Okay.
Do you see him like I guess expanding the long distance, or is he willing to take that on? I just like to know.
Yeah, let me answer just real quick because then I have to let you go so we can get to some of okay. our other calls. But I do, and if I didn't see that, yes, I would have probably told you already. But yeah, I mean, he's okay with it for now, and then there's going to be a point where maybe both of you, it will expand enough to where you're going to have to decide something. But don't worry about that right now. Just enjoy each other, feel each other. You have some healing to do and more confidence to gain, right? So, okay?
Okay, thank you so
okay,
much.
Okay, sweetie, you're welcome. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Great reading, Bobby.
Thank you.
That was good.
Thank you.
Okay, Steve, you're next from Virginia.
Thank you. Who's calling from Virginia?
Hi, Steve. This is Dee. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Sorry, I didn't hear your name.
Dee.
Dee. Hi, Dee. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too, Dee. How can I help?
I need to find out, do you see any potential relationship coming my way? And if so, when?
Okay, let's see. I think. I'm drawn to the month of August, Dee. My guides show me a line in my mind's eye, and it's as though they're splitting the year into two segments, the period from now running up until the end of July, and then August through to the end of the year. And I feel that you, I feel as though my heart is tender when I connect with you. Did you end the relationship earlier in 2011?
Steve, you're breaking up. Sound like you're far away from the phone. Repeat that again, I'm sorry.
I was saying, Dee, that my heart feels tender as I connect with you, and I'm drawn back to the beginning of earlier in 2011, around April, May. Did you leave a relationship?
You said April, May of this year? Is that what the question you're asking me?
No, I'm drawn back to 2011, Dee.
Oh, 2011. Well, a relationship ended. It wasn't in July. It was later.
It was later. Okay, because I'm really drawn to the April-May time of last year, and it feels difficult. My heart feels tender. And, you know, as I said to you, when I tune into you this year, I do feel that you'll if you spend the first half of the year really working on yourself and letting go of the past, really defining the path for the future, then I feel that by July you'll be very excited about what you're creating, and the energy will shift, and I feel you meeting somebody later in the summer.
So you're saying by summer I should meet someone that maybe will have a potential relationship, that's what you're saying?
Late summer, yes. Yeah. But work on yourself, Dee, for now, because you had a tough time last year, and the more you work on yourself, the more you let go and nurture yourself, the more easily that will unfold. But I do feel a connection late summer. As I said, I feel in July you will be settled in life. You'll be happy with yourself. You'll be excited about life. And then I feel that your circumstances change in August, later in August. That's what I feel for you.
Okay.
Okay, so good luck, Dee.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you, Steve. All right, Maureen, you're next from Orange County, California.
Hello, Orange County, California. Hello. It's so quiet. Orange County is not that quiet of a place. I've lived there. Orange County. Yoo-hoo. Hello. I guess they're left.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. Hi. Who am I speaking to?
Hi.
Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. I'm Maureen. I'm ready for you.
Okay. My question is, I asked my dad, and sometimes I feel like I didn't do enough while he was ill and everything, and I just want to, I don't know.
Okay, you're talking about your father, and you feel that you didn't do enough for him. Are you saying that he's now, you mean, you don't feel, or he's gone? Not gone.
Yeah, he passed away almost a year ago.
Okay, so your father died, and that's why I use it, because my father just died a few months ago, and so I don't use the word past or gone, because it's not like that. So you're feeling a little bit awkward, because you're feeling, reflecting that, okay, I got it. And so you're, okay, got it. I'm sorry to hear about him leaving, and it's an adjustment. You know, you were very strong. You were very strong, and, I'll tell you something. Your father, you did everything. In fact, not only that, it looks like your father seems like the man who is a very down to earth. He seemed like the man who is a down to earth. Seemed like he lived by the laws of the land in the old days. I'd be just down to earth. And he never saw what your perception is right now, what you asked me. I don't think that was anything that he ever even thought about. So I'm wondering where this is coming from with you. Your strength is unbelievable. I'm sure it was going on at the time. There's so much peace around him. And I think that he doesn't, one thing I think that he feels, I'm getting, that is that he doesn't see that you would know this. Cause you didn't do, it wasn't like not doing too much or doing too little. It was you. You did what you did. And you were there. And there was not more that he wanted or less that he wanted. It was just fine. And I see him very peaceful and looking towards you as being very, very heartfelt and just very peaceful. Very peaceful. You're being too hard on yourself about not doing what you could have done. There was nothing you were in control that you could have done more so or anything. There was something about help. It looks like there was financial help or something that kept the fear of lack of money around. You were very strong and maybe too much so in a way that it wasn't your role, but no, you were great. And I like I said, unless you tell me that you were a terrible person, but I just don't see that. And I don't feel he does either.
No. I was just doing that way because I had gotten into an argument and, you know how daughters and dads are.
Yeah, but not right. I just don't see it. An argument is an argument, but when it's all said and done, it's almost like there's something more deeper than that. And he was a very deep, like I said, he was a fine man. I can see that. Argument or no argument, that's the way. He accepted you for how you were. You did. It's not a question about what he did. I've seen him looking so kind and gentle towards you. That's what I'm seeing. Kind and gentle with who you were. He sees you in the light of kind and gentle, and that's how you are. And if you argued with him, that was part of your banter, You know what I mean? That's okay. That's how you guys, that's even better. That's how your special thing. Don't let this get to you because that was the way you bantered. It was great. It was great. And he's just, there's kindness and gentleness and caring that in his eyes that he reflects, that's your reflection of that. It's lovely.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. And you take care. And I appreciate, I'm getting you as a call because I just lost my dad. So, yeah. And your banter was good. And it was great. Okay. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was very nice, Maureen. That was good. Okay. I'm next from Washington State. Washington, hi. How are you?
Hi.
How can I?
Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm fine. What can I do for you tonight?
Good. Do you see me still having to visit doctors for the same reason as now when I move in 2 months?
Let's take a peek here. Let's take a peek. Well, one of the things that I see is that you're going to receive some, you're going to get some new information after your move. You're going to be able to leave some things behind. I don't believe, when I look into it, it looks like a lot of the stuff that you've, a lot of the information that you've had to act on with your health may not pertain to your move. You could be moving, I feel you're going to be moving away from it. I see that there's going to be new horizons, and I'm also seeing positive energy around your healing. There is going to be a little, you're a little bit worried about financial strain around this, but you know, I see that you can breathe better and that you're going to be able to move your body, you know, freely. And not to worry so much about the finances, because there is something coming from the past, and I do believe that that worry has affected your health in some ways, and it's kind of bound you. but I'm also seeing with this move, there's going to be a balance, and I see a new beginning for you. Are you starting a new project with this move?
Not that I'm aware of, no, not at this time. No.
Well, the new beginning could be just like an unfolding of the new you. And I see new energy around you, and I do see like abundance of health. I see abundance of health. I also see that there's going to be some healing energy around, you know, it pertaining to water. I also see a man coming in as to give you new information. He could be a new doctor or new, somebody who will treat you in a different way. I'm also seeing Wheel of Fortune around it, which means this is the year that it's going to turn in your favor. And it also means that, that you know, our life and our health go, they go in cycles. And I see you moving into a more positive cycle in 2012. Yay, we like that, right?
Definitely, yay. And I'll be warm, so that's...
Because what has happened has been... Actually, your journey has brought you enlightenment, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
You know what I mean? And one of those things is sometimes you can't believe what everybody says, because it feels like some of it is kind of like, you know, opinions on way, on what they may think is holding you back with your health. And the biggest lesson that I see for you is that, you know, you're getting to know yourself and you're healing yourself is what I see.
I agree. Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Oh, you're so very welcome.
You always verify my intuition, so thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bobby, you're next from California.
Hello, California.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, going well. My name is Tammy, and my question is, I've started two jobs, and I want to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
Well, the one job seems like it's kind of a weight on you, it feels. You know, like the way I'm looking at them, I don't want to say they're completely opposite, and they both are helping you to move in the direction that you're wanting to go, but one definitely feels just heavier, and if that's a must-do or a have-to-do type of job, then I would get it, you know. But
okay.
I think it holds you back in a way. Can you feel that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
I kind of understand, yes.
Yeah,
it's taking a long push, and it's not working yet. So,
I'm sorry?
You know, they tell me to hold on, but it's like, oh, my gosh, how long are you going to hold on?
What do you mean? So you have two jobs.
Yeah. I started
okay,
too.
And so let me just re-clarify. I mean, both they're fine, and what you need to be doing right now, just be careful and don't hang on to the one job that I'm talking about. It's the one that you probably don't have a great passion for or really look that forward to going to, you know what I mean? And it can just be a bit of a holdback. And so just when it's time to let it go, do. You know, so sometimes we don't, do we? We get into a position, we hang on to something, and then it happens in relationships, too, where we keep going on, and then there's an exit point, and we don't take it. You know, like we struggle to make it better. No, I should probably feel better about this, and I'll try to make it work, or, you know, that type of thing. And instead of letting go of it, we find ourselves just hanging on, and it can really, really then slow us up, you see. So again, both of them are necessary right now. I totally agree. Just remember to let go of the one.
Like a financial gain from one of them?
I'm sorry, I was still talking when you didn't hear you.
Will you have financial gain from one of them?
Will you have financial gain from one of them?
Yeah.
If you're talking about becoming a millionaire, then that one of them will help you get into that direction, but both of them are, yes, helping you financially right now to get out of where you were at. So, yeah, I feel that's a good thing as well.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, Bobby.
Sure.
Okay, Steve, you have a question from the chat room.
From Wookie, who's saying, okay, so Wookie's been single for 12 years. Will I ever allow anyone to get close to me and fall in love? Well, you know, the first thing, and this is not intuitive, this is logical. Wookie, if I were having a conversation with you, I'd draw your attention firstly to how you've asked your question, because words are extremely powerful and they reflect what we are feeling or resonating unconsciously and obviously at times consciously. But if you look at the way you've worded the question, will I ever allow anyone to get close to me? You're reflecting the fact that it's your choice, because you have to allow somebody to get close to you. And if you don't allow it, then they can't. I know that you've been badly hurt and disappointed, but 12 years is a significant period of time. And it is time for you to start asking yourself this question. Will you allow somebody to get close to you? Now, we've had great discussions about astrology and self-understanding. And if you explore your natal chart and your astrology, you'll see that there are reasons why you've had that experience originally and why you've chosen for this period to be alone, be single. And it's wonderful to be single for a period of time, because we really get to know ourselves and we get clear about what we want in life. I feel that this is a great time of change for you. I feel that you've really turned the corner as you came into this year, and I feel that you're ready to make changes in all areas of your life. I feel as though you've got everything under the spotlight and you're questioning what you want your future to be about. And I also feel that you've done a lot of work on yourself. And if you continue to do that, I do feel that you will meet a partner. I don't feel that you will meet that person this year. I feel that you will meet this person in 2013. I'm drawn through to late spring, early summer, 2013. But just reflect upon your life and yourself, because ideally we want to meet the right person when we are happy with everything else in our lives. We're happy with ourselves. We're fulfilled by our work in the world and excited about our lives. So if you work on getting to that, then you'll find that this person does come into your life. And as I said, I'm drawn to late spring, early summer, very early summer of 2013. And my guides are asking you to continue reading a lot and to also explore your good writing ability, which you'll see in your natal chart. If you look at your natal chart, look at the position of Mars, because Mars does reflect our warrior energy, our force in the world. So it does have And some, in some interpretations, information about what we're looking for in a partner or in a relationship sexually. But it also represents the great energy that we bring into the world and how we assert that energy. And I feel a strong connection with the sign of Gemini for you related to Mars. And my interpretation of that would be a great strength in communication, expression, writing, research. So my guides draw your attention to that as well. And wish you all the very best for the future.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Very nice.
Okay, Maureen, you're next. There's a question from the chat room from White Club.
Hi, and I do have the question here, and the question is as follows. White Plume, I hope I say it right, is I really want to relocate, but do not want to leave my job. I would like to move to a place that my kids would really enjoy, but it's 90 miles away. I don't know what really to do. Okay, this is what I'm getting, White Plume. Did I say White? Is that right, Plume? Everybody? Well, you know, my grammar.
It's actually, I believe it's Plume.
I'm sorry, White Plume. Okay, White Plume, I'm sorry, that's much beautiful. Plum is fine. Anyway, you know what I do see? I do see that you've checked out this area recently in the past, and it gives me a sense like of a peaceful feeling, like it felt like you're trying. I don't know, it's not only for your kids, I see it to be very positive for your mind as well. And I think this is the thing. This would be the best thing for you to do, even though you don't have, you know, you don't want to leave your job. I get a feeling the family honor, it looks like it would be really good for the whole family, like you did say. But not only that, is it would bring you back to your whole family. Like I see a reunion of like everybody that maybe you've had disconnected with, it would bring back that. There is a feeling that there's a male I see surrounding you that, or if it's, if this might be a woman or man I'm speaking to, I'm not sure. But male energy, and if it's a, you know, man, it's like a female, it's a little bit of male energy, but who's a little bit flighty, wishy-washy, that may be keeping you from really making a sound decision. I say you go for it, because I see a very good opportunity and work for you. And I feel that it looks like in the next, around the springtime, and I see that you would thrive there very much so yourself individually, and as well, your children, absolutely. So I even though you really don't know what to do, I think you have checked it out and you should start putting some stuff out there to go for it. You know, as far as getting, you can get, I see you getting work, and I see you being very good work with good, success. So I hope that answered your question. There you have it. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. That was great. That was very detailed. I think people really appreciate detailed readings, you know?
Yeah, talk fast, but detailed, yeah.
Well, you know, give as many details as you can. Well, everybody, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my wonderful co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what do you have planned for next week?
Next week we have a wonderful guest, Consi Malasoma, and we'll be continuing our exploration of astrology, and specifically next week, living intuitively with the planets. So talking in more detail about how we can each understand the energies of the different planets and some of the aspects and transits, so that we really integrate the power and opportunity of living consciously aware of astrology.
Well, that sounds like the icing on the cake, doesn't it, you guys?
Yes, it does. I like that. Yum, yum.
Oh, definitely. Chocolate, of course. Well, good night, everybody.
Night, everyone. Bye.
Good night.
Bye.